two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Seen the sky so blue, the birds are singing, I got nothing to do. Hey, hey,
hey, hey.
It's a sunny day.
Sunny day now.
My pocket's empty, my cupboard's bare. But call me illogical, I just don't care.
Hey, hey,
hey, hey. It's just a sunny day.
Hey, 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 it's a sunny day.
It's just
day.
The KSL Greenhouse. Information and great talk about your home, garden, and your lawn. If you love perennials, can't get enough help on landscape design, or just want to keep your lawn and vegetable garden pest-free, grab a pen. It's the KSL Greenhouse on KSL News Radio.
Good morning, and thank you for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse Show. This morning, Maria Chalaos, along with Sheridan Hansen and J.D. Gundel from the USU Extension, we have given Tom Bettis the day off, and where in the world did that rain come from? Nice to see us finally getting at least a little bit of precipitation. So thank you for joining us this morning for the KSL Greenhouse Show. Sheridan, J.D., you both have been here before and have helped us fill in. Thank you for being here today and letting Tom take a much-needed day off.
He deserves it for sure.
Yeah, we're happy to be here. I saw a picture of Ton's kids swimming, so they're off somewhere having fun.
And that is awesome. This morning we wanted to start out with cool conifers. And JD, Ton's always talking about how you're the tree expert. So I'm gonna let you start out and tell us what's up there that's cool.
Well, I don't know that I'd call myself an expert. I'm a tree geek. I really love trees.
No, you're the tree expert.
Well, there's a lot of people.
Every time there is some strange question that Ton can't answer, you know where he sends them, and that's to you.
Well, he's very kind. But there's a few trees. I've recently moved to Cache Valley and figured out really quick that there's some of the trees we can grow along the Wasatch Front that I cannot grow in Cache Valley. So I've had to do a little bit more digging and research and creative in my own yard. But in doing that, I found some really neat conifers. And the reason we talk about conifers this time of year is it's winter, and a lot of the deciduous plants lose their leaves, and it's not that interesting. So conifers really carry their weight this time of year. And you know, one that I've really liked lately, and this is kind of like asking which is my favorite kid, it depends on the day, but the Alaskan weeping cedar is one that I've really, really liked. I love the It's got a really open nature, obviously hardy with the name Alaskan in it, but really nice dark green weeping branches, gets probably around 30, 35 feet tall is all. So really nice for landscapes. I do have to say caveat here that the trees that I like are not necessarily things that other people like especially my wife.
And this is very true.
One of your favorites then? I mean, why would you suggest one over another?
Well, I like it because it, you know, the typical spruce, that really thick, dense look. We had a windstorm this last summer up in Cache Valley that literally wiped out thousands of blue spruce. Mm-hmm. And it's just because they're so dense, the wind can't get through them. Their root plates are really narrow or shallow in the soil. So these cedars are, like I said, a lot more airy. They have a really nice weeping habit. So I like unique things. I like things in my yard that not everybody has. So maybe that's the better answer.
No, that's a good answer. And I think many of the people who listen to the KSL Greenhouse, that's what they're looking for, something that everybody doesn't have. So,
yeah, and that's the neat thing about visiting the nurseries in the spring is these plant companies are coming up with new cultivars, which is basically cultivated variety, something that we figure out on our own and kind of speed nature up. But there's a lot of – I don't mean to speak badly about blue spruce because before 2014, that was our state tree.
Mm-hmm.
And
but it's so large.
It is. And the species can get way too big. So if you're looking at a nice blue spruce, I just planted one in my yard, but I shopped around and found one called Bonnie Blue. It's a really dusty blue color, but a smaller. It only gets about 25, 30 feet.
Yeah.
So when they say dwarf, it's more of a, in comparison to the species, not really. Not really.
It doesn't mean it's tiny.
No,
right.
It's tiny compared to its species,
right?
Parent.
Very important to note that.
So yeah, that's one. The other one I really, really like is a weeping white spruce. There's one called Morton's Tower. It's tall, skinny. I put one next to the corner of my home to kind of soften the architecture. It's kind of nice to put Christmas lights on it.
I have to point out, though, everything you've said is weeping. So I don't know what that is, Jamie.
It's the year. That's what it is.
Maybe it's 2020.
It's our state of mind.
It might be. No, they're beautiful trees. I love the habit of the weeping trees. And it does. It softens those corners, like you said. It really makes a nice focal point that is not too harsh.
Yeah. The other ones I really like, then there's a lot of variety. So these plants that we're talking about, these trees, these conifers, there's a lot of sisters and brothers and cousins that they have, that little different forms, different colors. The one that I really like also is the Oriental spruce.
I was just going to say that. That one's one of my favorites, is the Oriental spruce. Those tiny needles,
yeah.
So fine textured.
But they're stiff. I don't even know what to compare it to, but instead of grabbing a spruce and swearing because they poke you,
right?
They're kind of more friendly, and the shorter needles are really fun.
Okay. Well, and it kind of looks like a little tiny bristle brush, like almost what you would put mascara on with, because they're so tiny. There's your comparison.
This is why
a great description. Awesome, Sheridan.
So, yeah, there's so many. It's hard to choose from, but I would highly recommend going to the nurseries this time of year. They're starting to get their trucks in from the Pacific Northwest in the next month or so. They're bringing in their new varieties, and plant people don't like winter. And so you go to the nurseries, and the nurserymen are a lot more apt to talk to you and discuss some of your concerns. Or
absolutely. And you can take a walk through a greenhouse and get your soil smell fix. I mean, that for me, that's really important in the winter. I have to go and walk through a greenhouse and smell things and know that
green exists.
Yeah, green exists and soil is there, and it's going to come back and we'll be okay.
Yeah.
We're going to make it through the winter.
You're so right. Plant people do not like winter. I've been trying all sorts of things indoors, and while it's fun and, you know, it's fun to experiment, it's just not quite the same as getting outside and digging your hands in the dirt and planting something new and creating something fun in your yard.
Absolutely.
So there's a couple other pines that I wanted to touch on since we're talking about winter color and kind of the winter blues, but there's a lodgepole pine series. There's one called Chief Joseph, another one called Taylor Sunburst. The Chief Joseph, in particular, its color is a bright, bright yellow, and it turns that color during winter. And so we in Utah sometimes don't like yellow leaves because it reminds us of the high pH soils and the things we can't grow here.
Right.
But it's a really nice accent color, that Chief Joseph. And I planted the Taylor Sunburst in my yard because when the new growth comes out in the spring, really early, that bright yellow tip is really cool contrast against the green.
It is. It's an awesome focal point and kind of makes people stop and think for just a second if they're walking through a landscape or driving by. They're like, whoa, what was that?
So,
yeah, it's a good eye catcher.
And so a lot of these plants, if you want to see them in person, come by the Botanical Center in Kaysville. We have a 7-acre arboretum. We've planted nearly 400 of these species so that people can wander through and kind of see them in their natural habitat and see how big they can get before you put them in your yard.
Yeah, and don't be afraid to come out in the winter. I mean, people think that we're kind of, you know, shut down in the winter. That's not true at all. But seeing trees in all four seasons, I think is really important when you're selecting trees for your yard, because you don't want it to just be great one time of the year.
Yeah.
And I really have that problem in my yard, too, where it's not nearly as interesting in the winter as it is in the summer.
Yeah, a lot of us have that same problem. You're not alone.
And sorry, JD, I interrupted you.
No, I was just going to say, if you come to the Arboretum, you can see witch hazels, the one they're in bloom, usually this time of year.
And yeah, I think ours did just bloom. So, yeah, it's a really cool plant that it will bloom this time of year.
Yeah, and our greenhouse listeners, we did focus on that. Ton had talked to you about that earlier and did an interview with you on witch hazel. So there is an article on the KSL Greenhouse Facebook page on the witch hazel, so people can check that out as well.
Awesome.
So the number to call with your questions, 801-575-8255. You can text us at 57500. I wish we could all be in the same room so we could see each other. There's something about that eye-to-eye communication that it's really tough when we're in separate locations, but so glad to have you with us this morning, Sheridan and JD. And we'll be back with your calls and questions on the KSL Greenhouse Show.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
Good morning, and thank you for spending your Saturday morning with the KSL Greenhouse Show. Maria Chalaos with you today, along with Sheridan Hansen and J.D. Gunnell, who are co-hosting today. We've given Ton Bettis the day off. We've been talking about cool conifers, and J.D., you were talking about how you've moved and had to redo your landscape and had to do research. So my question is, when someone like you, an expert, does research, where do you turn to find cool things for your landscape?
USU has a really cool app called the Tree Browser. You can download it on your phone from Google Play or the App Store. Just under Tree Browser. It's also a website, interactive website that you can search. There's 245 different species. You put in the characteristics you want, the size, the hardiness zone becomes really important. But all those trees I mentioned will grow in most areas in Utah.
Well, and it's kind of a fun thing because you can filter. So if I want a flowering tree or if I want something with a specific fall color, I can really search and find trees that fit what I'm looking for. So I think it's an awesome tool. And I think it's treebrowser.org.
Yep.
Treebrowser.org. Okay. I'm writing these down. Okay. Taking notes.
So, and you know, my kids always have to teach me technology, but I've learned that Google... If you put EDU or USU behind a Google search, you'd be amazed at what comes up.
Yeah, it's usually very specific to university sites or USU site, something like that, that will pop right up. And usually it's the local stuff first that pops up, so as close as it can be to you, and then it kind of goes out from there. But that's a great thing to use when you're searching to find good sources.
Right, and I love that you mentioned the USU and the EDU because Google, there is just so much out there when you're looking at cool plants. Having just that more specific way to search is a better way to go.
Yeah, and you mentioned earlier that I'm a tree expert, but what I wanted to point out is Sheridan, Ton, we have multiple USU agents in every county in Utah, and they can all do what I do.
Because we call JD.
But don't hesitate to call your extension office. And if you're wanting to design your landscape, you know, we can offer limited help on plant material. And I mean, we're not going to come out and design your yard.
Yeah, we don't do that, but yeah.
But we can definitely help in the research end of things.
Yeah, what I've noticed about Ton, though, he refers to each of you for different things, specific things that he is not an expert on. For example, when he said, Sheridan, you were going to be here for the show, he goes, and Maria, she knows a lot more about succulents than I do. So he's...
Well, that's a good thing. If we don't know the answer, we know people that do.
Absolutely.
Right. Networking is so important.
It is absolutely important. The number to call with your questions, 801-575-8255. You can text us at 57500. We have John, who is waiting on the line from North Ogden. Good morning, John. How can we help you?
Good morning. Yes, I have a pruning and spraying question about fruit trees. When can I start pruning my fruit trees?
Specifically, what trees do you have?
I have an apium and a peach and an apple.
Okay, so on apples, they're a little bit more cold hardy. So a lot of the orchardists will start pruning around now.
Mm-hmm.
But on the peaches, I would definitely wait until March, mid-March, because people think differently than plants do. And so we want to get these things up and going. We're sick of winter. We want to get out and get things done. But pruning actually stimulates growth in plants. So if you get out there and start pruning on your peach right now, it kind of wakes up the hormones and it wants to start to grow. And if it does, then the new growth will freeze. So
Especially when we have warm weather. Sorry, I don't want to interrupt you, but especially when we have warm weather like what we're having.
Yeah, so I actually wait and do all my pruning in March.
Okay, I forgot to mention a pear tree too, all in the same category, right?
Yep. So I would just kind of drink another cup of hot chocolate, watch some Netflix, just wait until the coldest part of winter's done.
Research plants online.
do all fruit trees, is it good to spray all of them with dormant spray?
Yeah, you can do a dormant oil spray, which will kill a lot of the overwintering eggs, things like aphids, any kind of insect that will overwinter in some of the bud skills. It can also help with some of the pathogens that we run into. So sometimes we have things like Carinium blight that will overwinter in bud skills. And so sometimes we'll mix a dormant oil spray with a fungicide, and that will kind of help as well. So, all of your trees. So you want to get that on. It depends on the weight of the oil that you use. But if you're going to use a heavier weight, you want to do it before the buds really swell. When it's nice and dormant before anything pops out. So, you can start working on that. And I wouldn't do it until after I pruned.
Right.
You're just going to be putting a lot more oil on and then taking out those branches that you have sprayed. And so if you want to get your pruning done and then apply it, that's a great thing to do.
Well, and there's a temperature range on oils that are safe. And usually they tell you not to spray if it's going to be below 40 degrees.
Right.
And you wait a little while.
Well, that's been very helpful, and I really enjoy your information each week. Thank you.
All right, John. You're welcome. Thank you so much for your call this morning. A first texter of the morning wants to know, they're talking about broccoli. They've planted broccoli for years in North Ogden. Now they can't find their favorite variety, which is Bonanza. They say last year they planted Waltham, and it wasn't nearly as good, and they want to know what you would recommend.
There's another variety. It's a hybrid variety that is excellent called Gypsy. I've grown that one at the USU Botanical Center for the last couple of years, and it does incredibly well. Great big heads. I've had incredible harvests off of that broccoli. So if you want to give Gypsy a try, that might be the ticket.
Gypsy's like your spirit plant.
It's my spirit plant.
Oh,
he did call me a hippie yesterday, so maybe.
Okay. So you have to have a spirit plant then, right?
Definitely. I don't know that it's broccoli, though.
That might be a little bit odd. But the next texter says, should I get out the hose and water my trees and bushes since we haven't been getting any moisture?
Oh, I keep getting this question. And JD and I were talking about it this morning.
About it, and I'm concerned about the lack of water.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. Sheridan and I were having this conversation before the air. And we actually have different opinions on this.
A little bit, yeah. I mean, I think with the conifers, things that are having to continue to photosynthesize, you definitely want to get some kind of water so that they can complete that photosynthesis process, or we're going to have burning on those plants. So
the problem is, it's when you see the problem typically in nature, and I've experienced this throughout my extension career, when you see the problem or when you want the answer is probably about 2 months too late.
Ah,
and definitely. So with conifers, they need to go to bed wet. They need to be put in the fall. You need to make sure that soil profile is full of water before the ground freezes.
Yes.
Now, I don't know every soil in Utah, so I don't know the conditions, but in my house up in Cache Valley, my soil is frozen for about 8 inches.
Right.
So if I was to go out and use a hose and water it, it wouldn't go down to where the roots are. It would just run off and freeze.
Right. It's not going to do any good. But down here, along the Wasatch Front, we're quite a bit warmer. And depending on your microclimate and where you're at and how your house is situated and where your plants are, you may be able to water and get some of that water down into the root zone of some of those plants.
And again, so dig down in your soil.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. It's very specific for each situation. So again, go ahead and tell them, JD, what to do.
So if you have conifers and your soil's not frozen, definitely go out and give them a good drink, because this has been one of the driest winters that I can remember.
Yeah, I'm really worried about it, actually. I'm worried about what's going to happen over the summer if we're going to have water.
Right. Anybody who likes to plant things worries about water. You have a well.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks, JD. That was helpful.
No, it's
just... His well might be dry if we don't get water.
I don't have a city to save me.
I was like, oh, I was taking it the opposite way. I was taking it as if you had a well and you didn't have to worry about it. So I'm sorry.
He was all bragging it up.
I wake up in the middle of the night worrying about my well.
Yeah, well, I think we're all worried about water at this point in time, and we definitely need to see some good storms. And that's always something I don't advocate, because I don't love storms, but I do love to plant, which means we need water. And the number to call with your questions this morning, 801-575-8255. You can text us at 57500. We'll be back following the news.
It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.